good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch here on the magical Isle of Vashon. And this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair for our weekly muster and time together. I'm broadcasting live from Vashon. I am back from all of my travels and am going to be here until it is time for me to head out for Thanksgiving. And so I am lining up some especially interesting, of course, all of these broadcasts are especially interesting, but some especially interesting friends to come on with me. And as always, I broadcast live from wherever I am in the world and on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden and now the Kingdom of the Netherlands, of which The Hague is the capital and in Sweden, Stockholm is the capital. And I do that streaming live on voiceofvashon.org. All one word, voiceofvashon.org. Streaming live every week. I've had a wonderful sequence of visits and experiences and adventures in the last 3 weeks. So my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who were my hosts or who organized events, such as the Ingham Reunion, from which I have also just returned, who are friends of family rank, who enrich my life every day. It is always my hope that after one of these visits that you are not so happy to see the stern of me that when I take my departure with the truncated departure ceremonies, because I do not do the departure ceremonies very well, and I like to have them as quick as possible. Because we never know. It is not given to us to know the day nor the time. And so I always feel a little empty spot in the depths of this captain's black heart when it's time for the departure ceremonies. And so it has been in a number of times just in this last 3 weeks. It is always my hope that I do not detract from the enrichment of your life for having me as part of your life for the time that we're able to spend together. The biblical list is stable, which means that there are no new terrible entries of which I have been made aware, and also no departures of either kind. The two ways, of course, that we leave the binnacle list are, one, crossing the bar, and secondly, by following the instructions of your particular medical practitioner so that you leave the binnacle list in the captain's approved fashion. As always, everyone who is on the binnacle list is in the palm of my hand. And I have to confess that I have not yet been able to get up alongside a practitioner with the new COVID virus shot or the respiratory infection shot. And that is on my list of things to get done in the next couple of weeks. I had a great visit in Amsterdam. I returned yesterday in a aluminium tube, aluminium being the British, one of my affectations, of course, is to use some British spellings and words. In an aluminium tube built by Airbus, an Airbus A330-300. The airworthiness certificate printed on parchment. The tail number was an NW tail number, which tells us that this particular aircraft came to Delta when they acquired Northwest Orient Airlines. So, but this particular aircraft had been configured for present day flying. And although it was a little bit noisy, which is, seems always to be my particular feeling about Airbus aircraft over Boeing aircraft, a little bit noisy. And when the wheels come down, you always hope that you hear that little chunk that you hear with Boeing aircraft that tells you that the wheels are down and locked. And when they touch down, they are not going to fold or collapse. There is no such chunk in Airbus aircraft, at least not any that I have heard. So, but it was a good flight with a lovely cabin crew, including just a darling little Japanese girl who had very little English, surprising in a Delta flight. Delta also code shares. This flight also had a KLM flight number, but there were no KLM people to be seen. My KLM experience goes back to when I was 12. And right after World War II, my father had taken a job in Aruba with Esso, which the company then was Lago Oil and Transport. And there was a big refinery in Aruba that took the crude oil from Lake Maracaibo in Venezuela and refined it into a number of different products, but in particular, avgas, aviation gasoline, 100-octane aviation gasoline. During World War II, the German subs would lie off of the entrance to San Nicolas Harbor and pick off the incoming crude oil in these shallow draft tankers, and then pick off the outgoing tankers that were carrying 100-octane avgas. For the through almost 4 years that I lived in Aruba, off and on lived in Aruba, the oil from those sinkings was still washing up on the beaches, and that was 2, 3, 4 years after the actual sinkings. So that flight was from Miami. I was charged with the task of taking my two sisters to Aruba to be with the rest of my family. And it was a KLM flight from Miami to Aruba with a stop in Kingston, Jamaica. And the aircraft was a DC-4, non-pressurized, round windows, not square windows. Those came with the DC-6 and 7 series. And it was a Army surplus DC-4 that KLM had been able to buy and convert it into an airliner. That was my second flight in my whole world. The first flight was the flight from Washington down to Miami with my two sisters. And that was my first experience with passports, and that was my first experience with passport control. Was learning how to manipulate and manage all of those things. And those are skills that I learned early in my life and have been with me for the rest of my life since then. But I have to make a couple of comments about my Amsterdam visit with many thanks for the love and attention that I have from Andy and Cece, who were my hosts and who own the canal boat True Love, the one in which I stayed. The first, one of the things that we did was that we went to the Maritime Museum. Now, a Maritime Museum anywhere in the world is an attraction to me that will draw me in from many miles away. And this one did not disappoint. It was a beautifully put together, and it was in a depot that went back to the 1600s. That had been built by the Dutch Navy at that time, in the 1600s, during the height of Dutch exploration and Dutch colonization. And now their depot building has been turned into this wonderful museum. it was a great experience to just not only look at all of the artifacts that had been collected over the years. There was, in particular, am I always interested in the sections that deal with charts and maps and the publications that go with charts and maps. The Dutch and the Brits in particular and the Portuguese were in particular very skilled at recording their experiences as they sailed around the world and then converting those experiences into written records. The word rutter, R-U-T-T-E-R, if you look it up in a nautical dictionary in particular, it will tell you that it's a collection or a compendium of information that's been collected by mariners as they went around the world. It is especially interesting to look at these and to see how the business of charting and mapping and sailing directions have evolved over the centuries, because that's exactly what it is. It's an evolutionary process. We have charts today, which are evolutionary products of things that happened centuries ago. The best chart of Antarctica is a British Admiralty chart. It is one that I used myself when I was sailing in those waters. And for many years, it had a legend in the upper right-hand corner that said, based on work done by Captain James Cook. A wonderful sense of continuity for the whole business of sailing and going to sea that is so precious to me. So not only the Maritime Museum, which talked about, which had a whole section on maps and charts and things like rudders, but then also the section that had to do with maritime instruments, which went all the way from a crossstaff to the most recent version of the sextant, transiting through the octant, or 1/8 of a circle. The sextant, of course, is 1/6 of a circle. And I was able to pontificate at great length with my host and hostess about the sextants that I had used, because I always adjusted my own sextant. So that was the Maritime Museum. And then after that, a day later, we went to the Resistance Museum, in which the exhibits had to do with the resistance to the Nazi occupation in 1940 all the way up through 1944. And I compared this to the Resistance Museum that I had seen in Denmark. And the differences in both the level of resistance that the two countries exhibited against their Nazi occupiers and also some of the techniques that were used. It was, though, a very, very interesting and heartbreaking, because always when you look at the exhibits, the photographs in particular that go with these exhibits, you are struck by the fact that how many women were involved in the actual hard, hard, and very, very dangerous work. And not the involvement of children in the actual espionage work, but the photographs of children, because children are the victims of every one of these conflicts. So that was the Resistance Museum. I was touched by it. I was reminded of the children that I had seen in Vietnam, especially up in I Corps, up near Da Nang. and that children who cannot defend themselves, cannot protect themselves, are not skilled in feeding themselves, and the terrible things that happen to them and are happening now in so many different places in the world. If I were God, the king of the world, I would figure out how to put a stop to that. I haven't figured it out yet. So then the next thing that I was particularly struck by was canal boat living. Trulove is a canal boat on one of the ancient canals in the oldest part of Amsterdam. And the Dutch government, I don't think this is the national government, I think this is the government of the city of Amsterdam, is selectively doing some work on the canals to try to make them last for another 500 years. And they're being very successful at it. Right on this particular canal, which is a short walk away from the number 5 tram line, because I got into the public transport system. Every city that I go into, that I learn the public transport system. You put me down anywhere in the city of London, and I can go down into the tubes and take you any place else in the city of London. I'm not quite so skillful with Amsterdam yet, but I am in Paris. If you want to go with me to Paris, I'll get you anywhere you want to go in the city of Paris on the metro. But I use the public transport system as a personal adventure. And one of the things that I notice about the canals are the swans. Right across from Trulove is a really beautiful and old canal boat. Andy did not know whether it ever got underway. Periodically, all of those boats have to be taken out of the water and inspected and repaired. And this particular boat right across from Trulove, the children would lean out every morning and they would feed all the swans, about 20 of them. This particular neighborhood, if I were going to live in Amsterdam, this is where I would live. I would live in a neighborhood like this with a lot of children, beautiful girls, all kinds of people of all ages, and living in houses that are 400, 500 years old. Right on the corner, a few steps away from Trulove, is a neighborhood cafe, the Café Tabac. And lots of people in the Netherlands still smoke. But all of these are my impressions, and I am so grateful to Andy and Cece for their gift of love for my being able to stay there. They own another houseboat, and that's where they live. And all of the things that we were able to do together. I did comment last week about Schiphol Airport. It has gotten even larger just in the week between the time that I flew in and the time I flew out by about 10 miles. And when we came back into SeaTac, for those of you who are flying into SeaTac from outside the country, there is a new international's arrival arrangement, and it is a long hike from where you get off your airplane until you're able to go through passport control. And this is where I tell you that it is really worth buying Global Entry, paying a little, it's $100 for 5 years. If you buy Global Entry for $100, you also get TSA PreCheck, and both of them are really, really worth it. And that's what I have to say about that. In G-Captain this morning was an article about the USS Gerald Ford, the most recent carrier in the class coming after the Nimitz class, and she's been deployed to the Middle East, and in particular into probably is going to be working, flying, training off of the coast of Israel. I bring this up not because I'm going to get into any discussion of the terrible things that are happening in Israel. There's plenty of commentary about all of that, but because I'm going to give you all a little piece of Coast Guard nautical arcana. When Israel was founded, and it was right after World War II, one of the first things they wanted was to establish a navy. Where are we going to get any ships? The U.S. Coast Guard had a cutter named the Northland. Not Northwind, but Northland. The first Northland, there is another Northland. She's in commission now. As the carrying on of the tradition of the name. But the first Northland had a number of interesting characteristics about her. She was built in the 1920s, steel, and she was electric drive, one of the first electric drives where a prime mover is used to turn a generator. The generator then turns a motor, and the propeller is connected to that motor. My Northwind had that same drive system, but Northland was one of the first ships to do that. But at the same time, to salt the mine, Northland had sails. And if you look up Northland if you can find her, and I can tell you where you can find her, there are a couple of books about Coast Guard cutters in World War II. And you will be able to find a picture of Northland. And if you find a picture of her as she was constructed, you'll find that she had square sails. Parenthetical insertion here. At the Maritime Museum in Amsterdam, they have a replica of a Dutch East Indiaman, beautifully constructed, absolutely authentic, except that the shrouds are steel. And I was ready to get her underway. I remembered all the commands. I was ready to get her underway. Andy and Cece persuaded me not to do that, that His Majesty, the King of the Netherlands, would find it unacceptable for this American to get his ship underway. So I didn't do it. End of parenthetical insertion. So Northland was at the end of World War II. She had been operating up in the north, up in the Arctic. And for reasons which are not completely clear to me, she was determined to be surplus. Hardly a less suitable vessel for a fledgling Mediterranean Navy than a ice-strengthened ship, electric drive with sails. But by the time she was declared surplus, the masts had been cut down, the sails were gone, but she still was using the electric drive, and the hull was still reasonably sound. And so she was turned over to the Israeli Navy, and she was renamed Eilat, E-I-L-A-T. Now, we're not going to give the Israelis the USS Gerald Ford, but we did give the Israeli Navy the Coast Guard cutter Northland. And she served as the flagship and maybe the only ship in the Israeli Navy for some time. And you can go into a search engine or go into the book on U.S. Coast Guard cutters in World War II and find her story. I just think that it's really interesting that we have this connection today, because one of the other things that happened right after World War II was that when the Japanese Coast Guard was being formed up, we provided a great deal of advice to the Japanese Coast Guard. We're still doing that. The Japanese Coast Guard, the Philippine Coast Guard, all of the Coast Guards that are working together with us down in the South China Sea on the Spratly Islands, all of those things are a continuation of that tradition that we have done for many, many years. A couple of things, people have asked me for updates on a couple of things, and so one of them is the animal situation at Captain's Quarters. And so what do you think is the collective name for a large number of coyotes? So we did some checking around, and the answer is either pack or band. My word for it is plethora. I have a plethora of coyotes in the south end of the magical Isle of Vashon. They are all over my property and the property on either side of me. And so therefore, I have chosen to keep Sailor inside as much as I can. But he is protesting mightily. And in fact, this morning, in order to keep him from escaping out of me, I had to put him into the downstairs head, lock him in there until I could get out the door. My other one is Blossom. Now, Blossom is a black cat. And I took her on. I wanted a cat that nobody else wanted. And she is still behaving as a feral cat. But she wants so much to be handled and petted and cleaned up. Her coat's a real mess. And as soon as I can get my hands on her, and we have gotten to that point, she will come so close that if I move my fingers just a little bit in her direction, she'll run away. But we're almost there. And we are almost there. And when we are there, I'm going to get her cleaned up, because then she's going to be really beautiful. But I took her on because I wanted a cat that nobody else wanted. And boy, I sure got one. She had been in this animal shelter for a number of years, and every time somebody looked at her, she's also black. But when I get her cleaned up, she's going to be absolutely beautiful. She's going to be stunning. So that's the first thing. We're doing really well on the animal front, and I am watching for the plethora of coyotes. The second thing that I've been asked about is, where am I on the acquisition of this boat? Because I want a boat, and I've identified a Catalina 27. It's for sale here on the island, but the owner keeps dodging me and keeps going away, going to Michigan, where I have not yet been able to get aboard this boat. Now, my conditions are pretty simple. I want it to be able to float, and so far it's afloat. It's on a buoy right now. I want it such that the mast doesn't fall over and the mast is still sticking up. I can see this boat. The mast is still sticking up. And I want the sails to be reasonably intact so that I can at least sail it a little bit. And I want to do frostbite sailing. And it has to be a boat that I can single hand. And I can single hand this one. So that's where we are on that. I need to get this owner anchored down. I have the money ready to pay him. And there we go on that. End of October, property tax, second installment of Washington State property tax, if you are a ratepayer on the state of Washington. And although I have nattered on about my Amsterdam visit, I have no regrets about that, because we have come to the end of our time together. As always, I remain on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And we will meet again right here a week from today on the magical Isle of Vashon, on Voice of Vashon. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. And all of you remain, as always, in the palm of my hand.